The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of Get Paid, your one-stop shop for all things fantasy, gambling, and daily fantasy. We are proud partners of Underdog Podcasts. You can also find us on Podcast One and streaming on YouTube at youtube.com/theunderdog. This is a special edition today, and like last week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a deep dive into my favorite game of the week. It's the Houston Texans versus the Baltimore Ravens. Then we are going to go through start, sit, and touchdown predictions for running backs and wide receivers, all the good stuff for you. So the first thing we're going to do is that Houston-Baltimore deep dive, so let's go ahead and play that now. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The Game Plan. This episode is about the Houston Texans versus the Baltimore Ravens. As a fan of the NFL, as a fan of football, this is my favorite game of the week, the most interesting game of the week. These teams match up a lot closer than you think they might, given their records. If you're new to this show, here's what I do. I basically quickly break through and break down the player injuries, the key player injuries from both teams. I look at the key stats, the key gambler stats. I'll explain those. We put that into a soup, we mix it all together, and we give you paths to success, paths to victory for both the Texans and the Ravens. And at the end, we close out the video with our fantasy football projections using my daily fantasy football analytic algorithm that I wrote. As I always say at this time, if you could give me 2 seconds for two clicks, a like and a subscribe. You know, we put a lot of work into these videos, but honestly, we can't even give you links to different sources of information because those are blocked for us. We need your help to become a bigger channel to basically make these videos bigger. That helps us, and I think it would help everybody out there as well. But the first thing I like to do at this point, let's dig into the injuries for both the Texans and the Ravens. There's somewhat injuries for the Texans that make me a little uncomfortable. Obviously, Will Fuller, I think he's a key to this game. I hope he plays. I know he's back at practice. I don't love that Howard and Tunzel are both questionable when both of the offensive tackles are questionable and banged up. Yeah, I think that's a little bit of an issue. Tashaun Gibson, Brandley Roby, I don't love that those guys are questionable either, but at least we don't see any doubtfuls. At least we don't see any outs. For the Ravens now, we have Marquise Brown. He's been playing, though. I think he'll be okay. You know, I don't love that, again, Pierce, your nose tackle. You need to be able to stop that Houston Texans running game. They're fourth in the league, I think, at this point in terms of yards accumulated. And then Earl Thomas, you don't like to see him on the injury report either. But again, if, you know, any of these players, you know, weren't to play, I would say that Baltimore looks like the healthier team to me, at least in terms of, you know, recent injuries. I know everybody has some people on IR. You know, I didn't even mention J.J. Watt, for example. But, you know, I think the advantage probably goes towards the Ravens in terms of who's banged up. And again, I think that's more because of the offensive line. And I do think that the Texans need Fuller in this game, which we'll talk about in a little bit. As for the key statistics, these are in terms of yards accumulated. I like to put matchup versus matchup. So you see at the top line there, the pass offense of the Texans is ranked 12th. The pass defense for the Ravens is ranked 20th. Although since Peters has gotten there, they're playing a little bit better. So I think that's kind of an artificially low ranking compared to where they are today. Pass defense for the Texans is 29th compared to the 20th ranked Baltimore passing offense. Then you look at the run offense versus run defense. You know, fourth in terms of offense for the Texans, but eighth for the Ravens. And then first for the Ravens in terms of run offense, but third in ranked defense for the Ravens. So what you're seeing is strength versus strength and weakness versus weakness in this matchup. If I had to give an edge to anyone, I would give a slight edge here to Baltimore because I think that their passing game will be able to exploit some things with against Houston. Although, you know, depending on if Gibson and Roby play, maybe that'll be a little bit better for Houston. Similarly, I like the run offense for the Ravens, and I think the run defense is going to be difficult for the Houston Texans to handle. But respect to Houston, I really think in terms of matchup and where these categories go, they're pretty close. That leads me to the next thing, which is the gambler statistics. If you're new to this show, you know, I say this every week, but basically professional gamblers look at a few key things first, okay? Everybody has their own system, myself included, but everybody, makes it a lot more complicated. But the top line things for gamblers, a lot of times, are yards per play. How many yards do you gain per play, right? How powerful is your offense and defense? How many yards do you give up? Then third down and fourth down conversion. Okay, you can gain yards, but what happens in key situations? Are you good on third and long? Can you advance the ball, right? How good are you at staying on the field? Then you look at red zone touchdown percentage. How good are you if you stay on the field once you get into the red zone? Do you fall to bend, don't break defenses? Are you taking a lot of field goals or are you scoring that touchdown? And then lastly, you have the turnover margin. And if we look at these, I got to say they're pretty similar. Again, I give a slight advantage to the Ravens. You see that the Texans average 6.1 yards per play. That's pretty good. The Ravens give up 5.8 yards per play. That's decent, right? Then you look defensively, the Texans match the Ravens defense at 5.8 yards per play, but the Baltimore Ravens offense is a little bit better at 6.3 yards per play. So when I say a slight advantage, we're talking about 0.2 yards per play. That's pretty darn close. You look at the offense and defensive third down percentage, the conversion percentage. For defense, the lower percentage is better, right? You want to only have your opponent convert like 10% of the time, then you're off the field 90% of the time. So lower percentages are better for defense. But you see, they're actually pretty similar here. 46 for Houston's offense versus 48 for Baltimore's offense. Then defensively, you're at 44% for Houston's defense and 42% for Baltimore. I mean, that's pretty much a wash. Where the difference starts to come in for me a little bit is the fourth down conversions. Now, both teams are great on fourth down in terms of converting, but the Ravens are actually a little bit worse about stopping teams on fourth down. So I would say that the percentages actually fall a little bit more towards Houston. That's very important. And then if you look at the turnover margin, they're about equal. So when I take injuries into account, again, you know, a lot of questionables, but nobody's really out there. I think they're about even. I give the slight yards per play average to Baltimore. I give the slight, red zone percentage over to the Texans. As it, just in terms of pure analytics, I see this as a very even matchup. And when the Texans opened up, I believe they were 5-point underdogs. It was Baltimore -5 against Houston. I thought, you know what, this looks like a field goal game to me. And although I think it really, this could be a coin flip. If the Houston Texans had not had a bye week last week, I'd probably lean more towards, you know, the Ravens at home. But Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson, this is such a good matchup. I think we're going to get points. I think it's going to be exciting game to watch. I think it's going to be even a 15-14 game is exciting sometimes. But I think we'll get both teams in the high 20s, maybe in the 30s. I think Houston is that team that can match up very well with Baltimore. A couple of weeks ago when I did this video, for the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots. Now, I'll admit, I picked the Patriots in that game, but all the analytics were stacking up for Baltimore, and I admitted as much. I just said, hey, I'm not going to bet against the Patriots this time. Well, I got to say, this time, Houston stacks up really well. I actually think the Ravens match up better against New England than they do against Houston. Houston is just a team that is built to give the Ravens some issues. Again, it's why I'm loving this game. I think it's going to be a close one. For me, it's a coin flip either way. I pick Houston against the spread because I like the 5-point advantage. I tend to think maybe Baltimore will eke this game out with a late field goal or something like that. But to me, and let's just move on to the game plans, the path to success. Let's talk about the Texans' path to success first, right? I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, like I said. I think taking deep shots is going to be big to DeAndre Hopkins, and I think Will Fuller has to be in the game for the Texans to really be able to keep up with the number one scoring offense of the Baltimore Ravens this season. Now, why do I say Will Fuller? Two reasons. One, because Deshaun Watson likes throwing to him deep, first of all. You know, he did have that three touchdown game, and maybe that seems like an outlier to people, but I actually do watch all the games. I see a lot of Texans games, and even in the games where Fuller catches maybe one touchdown or no touchdowns, he's always this close to catching more, right? So, close is only good in horseshoes and hand grenades, as they say, but Fuller, what he does, even if he doesn't catch those deep passes, he stretches the defense. When he stretches the defense, they have to respect him on the other side of the field. That makes DeAndre Hopkins more potent. So I do think that Will Fuller has to play in this game. If he doesn't, then Stills better step the hell up, I can tell you that. The second one, red zone defense for the Texans needs to be ratcheted up, especially against a strong Baltimore rushing attack. They need to be able to basically stop Lamar Jackson, make him throw into tight windows. Let's see. Hyde, I don't love his projections. We'll see in the fantasy football projections moving forward here. I don't love Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson against the Baltimore Ravens defense. I think they're going to try to make Deshaun Watson one-dimensional. Good luck with that, because Deshaun Watson, as well as Lamar Jackson, both of them are very just dynamic players. I do like Watson a little bit more as a passer at this point, and maybe that has more to do with just having DeAndre Hopkins and potentially Will Fuller to throw to. Carlos Hyde, I do think that even if the Texans are only getting like 3 yards per carry, got to stay patient with that run game. You gotta just basically give some support to the deep passing game. If they get one-dimensional, then Baltimore can start dialing up blitzes, which gives Deshaun Watson a little bit less time to throw. You need to run the ball. You need to be patient, even if you're not getting the yardage there. I can't stress that enough. Establish the run and establish your willingness to run. I think that's a better way to say it. Even if the run's not jiving. I don't know why I said that. Even if the run's not going well, establish the run. Establish your willingness to run so that they respect your play calling as kind of an even distribution. Hopkins, I say, will need to win the matchup. And like I said before, Fuller doesn't play, Stills better step up and give Hopkins some support, more so in the last couple of weeks with Will Fuller out. Now, what is the path to success for the Ravens? Look, the Ravens are right now in my power rankings, the number two team. I think Houston's somewhere around 8 to 10 right now in the power rankings. If Baltimore wins this game, I will say that they'll either be number one or tied for number one. They're playing such good football right now. But like I said, NFL matchups, Houston, I think, gives Baltimore some problems. So let's talk about Baltimore's path to success here. Make the Texans one-dimensional. I said this when I was talking about the Texans. Basically stop that run. Make Deshaun Watson beat you. Make him beat you over the top. Can he do that? Yes, he has the ability to do that, right? But make him beat you over top. The Texans will do their best to contain Lamar Jackson. What that means usually, it could mean a couple of things depending on the defensive scheme. It could mean your edge rushers for the Texans are going to take deeper rushes and basically make him be the pocket passer. Of course, if they do that and they run too far up the field, that just gives more opportunity for Lamar Jackson to scramble out. But that also means that sometimes, and a lot of times, defenses will have a spy. They'll have a middle linebacker or safety or somebody crashing in and spy. The Baltimore Ravens, and they're used to seeing this, I know, but the Baltimore Ravens are going to want to basically exploit that spy. If it's a linebacker, you're probably going to want to run Mark Andrews over the top in a seam route, maybe like a 15-yard seam, just pick on that, or Boykin or whoever. If it's a safety, then you run Boykin, you run Snead deep, and you hit those guys. The Texans, number three on my list, the Texans have done well against tight ends this season, which helps in this matchup, right? Because the Ravens like to use their tight ends. If Boykin or Snead can make them pay in seam and deep routes, that's what I was saying before, especially if they're using a safety, if the Texans are using a safety as a spy, make them pay in the intermediate to deep middle of the field, and I think the Ravens will be able to kind of run through this game. And lastly, that takes me to my point number four: just keep on running. You're the number one rushing team for a reason. Ingram's great, Edwards is great. I love Hill. I love basically every running back that they've ever put in there. I love. And then on top of that, you have Lamar Jackson, who I think is a better version of RG3, who happens to be Lamar Jackson's backup. Lamar Jackson is now what RG3 should have been in his career. He's playing great. He's an MVP candidate for a reason. This Ravens team is going to give everybody matchup issues. Teams like the Texans, like the Kansas City Chiefs, which we saw earlier in the season, with really potentially explosive passing games, are going to be the ones that give the Ravens a little bit more trouble than, say, a Patriots who play strong defense. But teams that play strong defense can be run on. So again, we're talking about matchups here. People might be, Ravens fans might be saying, oh, what the hell? We're way better than the Texans. Well, in terms of rankings, I might agree with that. But again, matchup issue, this could be a matchup issue. And I just think this is going to be a close, exciting game. I hope you can sense my excitement. It's going to be awesome. Let's close this video out with my fantasy football projections. We'll start with the Texans. Deshaun Watson has a strong projection. I think that's probably 2 touchdowns for him at least. Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde, I mentioned, I don't love the projections here, but I do hope that the Texans, for the sake schematically in this game, do commit to trying to run regardless of how successful they are. I like Hopkins. Titans. I love Fuller this week, especially as a daily fantasy buy or as a bottom line fantasy football flex play for everybody out there. Given his injury, he's actually probably out there in a lot of leagues. I think he's somewhere hovering in the 50% rostered at ESPN at this point. Kenny Stills, I don't love. Darren Fells, that's a fringe start, but keep in mind, Fells, I think, is still leading the league in tight ends in terms of touchdowns, touchdowns received for a tight end. So Watson looks for him on the goal line, and you got to respect that. He has multiple games with two touchdown passes, so you got to look into that. And I don't really like either defense this week, so that's not to say that I don't like the Texans defense, period. Just not this week, not against the number one scoring offense in the league. For the Ravens, fantasy football-wise, I like Lamar Jackson. That 27, you remember Deshaun Watson was at a 20 if we looked at the last slide here. Lamar Jackson's at a 27. I think they'll have a similar game in terms of passing touchdowns, but I think Jackson's going to give you more rushing yards as he always does. Ingram, I like. I think he'll get in the end zone this week, 14. Edwards, I don't love at 4.16. Marquise Brown, I think, is a touchdown candidate for sure. I like him as a start. Willie Snead, Miles Boykin. I mentioned in the game plan, I would like to see that, you know, one of these guys win a matchup and get in the end zone, but I do not project them to do so. Mark Andrews, I think, will have a nice game. And if you're looking for a daily fantasy sleeper, I even think Miles Boykin could be there. If you're talking about, you know, on the goal line being disciplined and trying to make sure that, you know, Mark Andrews doesn't get a close touchdown. Well, you got a close, easy touchdown, I should say, maybe on a play action pass. You gotta stay at home on Miles Boykin and Hayden Hurst and whoever's, Boyle at tight end, or Hayden Hurst or any of those guys, because they'll be able to beat you on the goal line as well. You got to stay at home on those, which only makes the running game more potent because you have to respect the passing game there. And then again, defense and special teams don't love the matchup for the Ravens. I do think this is going to be a higher scoring game. Respect to the Ravens defense. I know that they've been playing better as of late. I've seen it. Respect. But I don't like this matchup again. So there you go. That takes me through the whole video. We do have the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns game on Thursday Night Football out. We'll also be following up with a couple more games. So if you like this series, you know, keep it going. We're going to have a multiple every week. I'm trying to add more and more, but I only have so many hours in the day. These videos take a while to prepare, as I'm sure you can all imagine. Once again, please like and subscribe to help us grow our channel and unlock some interactive features for you, the viewer. And we'll catch you on another episode soon. Thanks, everyone. And let's talk a little bit about betonline.ag, the NFL season, the college football season, NBA action. It's all heating up. It all continues to heat up. And there's a lot of games this week that you're not going to want to miss out on. Visit our good friends and the exclusive partner of Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% sign up bonus. You know what? On top of like all the game action that they have a lot of contests that I think are really cool that are free to join. And if you win, you get free money. How good is that? As long as you play, once again, at betonline.ag, you can be in on those. We're talking about NFL games, as we always do on this show. That Houston-Baltimore matchup is great. Like I said, I like Houston in that matchup, but maybe you disagree with me. It's all good. Just make sure, everybody, go to betonline.ag, and don't forget the promo code. It's PODCAST1 for your 50% sign-up bonus. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. All right, everybody, and we're back. And to close out the show, I am going to play the start, sit, and touchdown predictions for both the wide receiver and the running back position. So let's go ahead and play those now. Atlanta, Devontae Freeman looks doubtful. I don't think he'll be in the game. I believe that's Brian Hill, and I do think that he has enough yardage to accumulate. I don't know if he gets in the end zone. I haven't projected it about a half a touchdown, so that's 50-50. For Carolina, is anybody in the world going to tell you not to start Christian McCaffrey? I have made a huge projection again, leading all running backs this week against Atlanta. I have him getting in the end zone at least two times this week. Buffalo against Miami, don't love Gore. Don't love Singletary. Singletary might get in the end zone. I do not think that Gore does. For Miami, I don't like Kalen Ballage, although if you're looking for volume and you're desperate at running back, he's one of my favorite running backs that's actually out there on the waiver wire to be picked up this week, but I don't have him getting in the end zone. Dallas versus Detroit, I do think Ezekiel Elliott rebounds. I think he gets in the end zone 1.5 times, so that's one or two touchdowns depending. Detroit, I don't like J.D. McKissick. Ty Johnson, don't really like him either. McKissick is actually a fringe start. for a bottom flex, but I don't think he gets in the end zone. I think it's all about yardage and catches for him this week. Denver versus Minnesota. Denver's running backs scare me a little bit with a change at quarterback. I actually don't have Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman getting in the end zone this week against Minnesota. For Minnesota, Dalvin Cook's a start for me every week. Top five running back for sure in terms of analytics. I think he definitely gets in the end zone once. If Thielen doesn't play, I think you can probably look towards two touchdowns for Mr. Dalvin Cook this week. Houston versus Baltimore. This particular week, I don't like Carlos Hyde or Duke Johnson. If I'm going to pick one, I would say Duke Johnson could get in the end zone on a screen pass. I don't think Hyde gets in the end zone. For Baltimore, Mark Ingram, I do think he gets in the end zone this week for Baltimore, but I don't like Gus Edwards. Let's see, Jacksonville versus Indianapolis. I like Leonard Fournette. We'll see what the Foles effect is. Nick Foles starting at quarterback is on this offense. I think Fournette gets in the end zone once. I think you're safe there. Marlon Mack, we'll see. I think Brissett being back in the lineup will help him a little bit. I do not have him projected to get in the end zone, but I do like him as a running back, so I would start him. I think he's worthwhile there. New Orleans versus Tampa Bay. Alvin Kamara will rebound. I think he'll get in the end zone this week. I don't like Latavius Murray at all. Don't have him getting in the end zone. For Tampa Bay, I like Ronald Jones as a start. I think he could potentially get in the end zone, but I have him at a projected about a half touchdown, so that's 50-50, and I do not like Peyton Barber at all. New York Jets versus Washington. Le'Veon Bell, assuming he plays, I think he gets in the end zone. I don't think he'll have a ton of yards, ton of catches, but I do think he'll push it into the end zone this week. For Washington, we have to see what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson, Darius Geis, Chris Thompson, all those guys, but I tend to think Darius Geis will be the better of the running backs. I don't have any of them getting into the end zone, but if I had to pick one, it would be Darius Geis, and that's kind of a risk here, so we'll see how that goes. Arizona versus San Francisco. At this point, David Johnson's a weekly risk. He's been injured. He actually kind of got put on the bench last week, if you believe what Coach Kingsbury said there. I don't know if they were protecting him a little bit for injury or if he literally was benched for Kenyon Drake. If so, that's a big deal. But I do have the running back here projected fairly well. Arizona is going to have tough sledding across the board against San Francisco. They had some success last time. I wouldn't expect them to duplicate that success, but I do think the running back will have value nonetheless. So let's see. So that would be David Johnson. I do think that he would get in the end zone, but then the question becomes, is it Johnson? Is it Edmonds if he plays? Is it Kenyon Drake? Just pay attention there. Basically look for more feedback before the start of Sunday to see who's actually going to get the lion's share of snaps in Arizona. For San Francisco, I like Tevin Coleman this week to get in the end zone. I don't like Breida. I don't like Mostert this week for those guys, but I do have Tevin Coleman getting in the end zone. Let's see. We have Cincinnati versus Oakland. I don't like any of Cincinnati's running backs. I know Mixon had a nice game last week in like a 30-point loss. Oddly enough, his best game of the season on the ground. I don't see him reproducing that this week against Oakland. Oakland, on the other hand, I like Josh Jacobs. I know he's questionable, but he's been questionable for like the last month. I think he'll have a nice game. He'll get in the end zone once, possibly even twice. New England versus Philadelphia. Sony Michel, I'm a little bit lower on. I think James White is more likely to get in the end zone this week, so I have him projected at about 0.6 touchdowns this week, so more likely than not to score. For Philadelphia, I don't like Jordan Howard. If you're going to start one of these guys, I would say it's Miles Sanders. I think Philadelphia needs Miles Sanders to have a good game for Philadelphia to have a chance to win this game. And Philadelphia does. This is actually a pretty big game for both teams when you think about playoff ramifications. Philadelphia needs to, stay in that NFC mix, and New England needs to basically stay in control of that home field advantage. So this is actually a pretty big game. Once again, Miles Sanders, I don't have him projected well, but I would say I would overrule the computer projections here. I like Miles Sanders this week because I think he'll get enough screen passes, and that's specific to PPR leagues. Chicago versus the LA Rams. Don't love David Montgomery. I think he's a top 20 running back this week, but you could probably do better in flex in terms of wide receivers. If you play in a league where you have to start two running backs, then I think he's worth a play. Todd Gurley, I don't like his projection, and I'm just going to be honest about this. I've run out of patience for the Rams. Devoting snaps to Todd Gurley. Whatever it is, they've just gone completely away, and they like to have Goff through for 40 times is what it is. They're spelling Gurley with Malcolm Brown. That's not the recipe that took this team to the Super Bowl and had them go to the playoffs the last couple of years, but I'm not in charge of the team, so what can you say about that? I do think that both of these defenses play well, so I think all running backs will have tough sledding. I actually don't have any projected to get in the end zone. The most likely would be Gurley and Montgomery, obviously, and I would say Montgomery is probably a little bit more likely to get in the end zone in my book than Gurley is this week. Kansas City versus the Chargers. At this point, you start Damian Williams. I do have him at about a 0.75 projection, so more likely than not to get in the end zone. Melvin Gordon I have as the number two running back in terms of statistical or computer projections for the running back position. I like him this week. I think he'll get a lot of catches. I think he'll get into the end zone once, maybe even twice. And I actually like Eckler, although I don't have him get in the end zone. I do think he'll get you enough catches and enough rushing yards and receiving yards to make it worthwhile. Plus, I think Kansas City is going to come out here coming off a loss. I think they have four losses now. They need a win. They can't keep losing games here. It's go time for Kansas City. I do think that this offense will have a nice game on the road against the Chargers. And when that happens, you know, obviously the Chargers are going to have to pass more. That helps Gordon. That helps Eckler in the passing game. So there you go. That takes me through the running backs. I do every position group, at least for the offensive skill position. So quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end. Please check those out. And we will be back next week. So catch us on another episode then. Thanks, everyone. And we will close the show out now with the wide receiver start sit for NFL Week 11. Atlanta versus Carolina. Julio Jones is a definite play. I think he'll have catches and yards, and I think he is definitely a touchdown candidate this week. I think he'll get in the end zone. Calvin Ridley, I think he's definitely worth the play. I don't know if he gets in to the end zone. Now, if Hooper doesn't play, that increases Calvin Ridley's value in my book. But, you know, it doesn't look like he's going to play this week. So again, so if Hooper doesn't play, I would say Ridley is probably more of a touchdown candidate this week. So I like it there. Carolina, I actually like DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel this week. I think both could potentially get in the end zone. You know, I say that, you know, Kyle Allen's probably going to throw for 1.5 to 2 touchdowns. I think Moore gets one of them, and the other one either goes to Samuel or McCaffrey or Greg Olson. So, but either way, I would start Samuel if you're desperate for a waiver plug-in play. He's a good one for that, and also a daily fantasy rotation. Buffalo versus Miami this week. I do like John Brown potentially to get in the end zone. I think Cole Beasley is a potential start, but probably not going to get in the end zone this week. I don't like anybody else for Buffalo. For Miami, it's really basically Devontae Parker, and then we'll see what happens. You got Allen Hurns, you got Jakeem Grant, you got a couple other guys. I don't think any Miami Dolphins receiver gets in the end zone, so I don't like them as plays this week. Dallas versus Detroit. I actually have Amari Cooper having a really nice game. I think he gets in the end zone two times for Amari Cooper. I have Gallup and Randall Cobb as start-worthy players as well, although I think they're more yardage accumulation guys, but I still would start them. So again, if you're looking for a waiver wire, Randall Cobb might be out there for you to play. Detroit, let's see. Galladay and Marvin Jones are worth playing, similar to what I was just saying about Gallup and Randall Cobb. I think those guys are catches and yard accumulation, but I don't think them that they'll get in the end zone unless Stafford plays. If Stafford plays, all bets are off. I just don't know. I mean, he's questionable at this point, and that back stuff really kind of worries me. Denver versus Minnesota. Cortland Sutton, based on volume, I think you can make the argument to play him. I have him on my team. I'm going to sit him. I don't like it. The projection is that he's more likely than not to catch a touchdown pass. Let me just take another look at their new quarterback. I believe is Brandon Allen. We have another young Allen quarterback in the NFL now. For Minnesota, I don't like the wide receiver projections. I think it's more of a running game for Minnesota this week. If Thielen plays, maybe I like them a little bit more, but Stephon Diggs has not shown an ability this season to create separation without Adam Thielen basically drawing coverage there, at least more often than not. You know, I haven't seen a lot of those 7 catches, 90 yards, a touchdown game from Diggs this season. So it is what it is. So if Thielen plays, I like him a little bit more. I would start Thielen, but, you know, and I would start Diggs too. I mean, I guess you have to, but I don't like the projections. I don't have them getting in the end zone. Houston versus Baltimore, a lot to like here. I think both teams score well. I think Hopkins gets in the end zone. Will Fuller, assuming he plays, I saw he was back at practice. I think he is potentially getting the end zone too. Low catches, but big yardage type plays. He always has a deep throw or two, you know, basically out there for him. Again, they take their shots when he's in the game. I like him, but I don't like anybody else for Houston. Baltimore, I like Marquise Brown, and I think the rest of the catches go to tight end Mark Andrews or Nick Boyle or somebody like that. So Marquise Brown is my only touchdown candidate for Baltimore this week, and I don't have Boykin or Snead getting in. Jacksonville versus Indianapolis. I like DJ Chark. We'll see what he does with Nick Foles if they have that same kind of chemistry that Gardner Minshew was able to create with him. But I don't love Conley or Westbrook to get in the end zone this week for Jacksonville. Indianapolis, T.Y. Hilton's doubtful. Paris Campbell's out. So it's Zach Pascal again, Chester Rogers, these kinds of guys. I think that I guess Pascal's a start. If T.Y. Hilton plays, he's obviously a start. Pascal, I think, could get you enough catches and yards. I don't love his touchdown projection this week. For Indianapolis, New Orleans versus Tampa Bay. I do have Mike Thomas. I think he's my favorite receiver this week. I have him getting the end zone at least twice, potentially three times. Ginn is a potential kind of fringe start, but he's always a risk. He's more of a daily fantasy guy to me. I don't think he gets in the end zone. Tampa Bay, I actually do have Mike Evans getting in the end zone, although he kind of laid an egg the last time these two teams played. We'll see if Lattimore can play this week. Let's see. So Tampa Bay, Evans, I actually do have getting in the end zone at least once, and Godwin I have getting into the end zone at least once as well. Don't like anybody else for either of these teams. The Jets versus the Redskins. I do like Jamison Crowder this week for the Jets. I have him getting in the end zone. I don't have anybody else. So Demaryius Thomas, Robbie Anderson, who's questionable, I don't have them getting in. For Washington, McLaurin is worth a start probably. If anybody's going to catch a touchdown pass this week for Washington, it'll be him. Trey Quinn, maybe a fringe start out of the slot, but you know, since Haskins is going to be starting at quarterback for the rest of the season, I'm a little concerned for the Washington passing game. I'm a lot concerned for the Washington passing game. Arizona versus San Francisco. I don't love the projection in the passing game for Arizona at all this week. Although if you have Fitzgerald, if you have Kirk, you know, if I personally had them on my roster, I would play them at my flex position, but the projections are bad. Neither one are projected to get into the end zone. And I'll say this, actually, Larry Fitzgerald is projected as a sit for probably the first time this season for me. San Francisco, we'll see if Sanders can play. They're banged up once again. San Francisco, unfortunately, they're a very good team. They're only a one-loss team, but they're banged up. They've been banged up for like the last like month and a half. But Emmanuel Sanders, if he plays, I like him. Deebo Samuel, I only really like him if Sanders does not play. I don't love his projection if Sanders does play, and I don't really like anybody else. I think Sanders is the most likely to get the touchdown. If Sanders doesn't play, I think it goes to Samuel. Let's see, Cincinnati versus Oakland. I'm not a fan of this quarterback position. I'm not a fan of Cincinnati, but in theory, they should be behind, so they should be throwing a lot. If you're in a PPR league, it's something you need to pay attention to. AJ Green is perpetually questionable this season. I don't know if he's ever going to play. If he does, I guess you can start him. Tyler Boyd is a start regardless, I think. I think Tyler Boyd gets in the end zone this week, one touchdown, and I don't have anybody else. But if AJ Green does not play, I have Auden Tate as a start there, assuming he plays. Now, for the Oakland Raiders, Terrell Williams, I don't have a great projection on him, but he always exceeds expectations in my projections here. It's running off a lot of data from when Oakland had Terrell Williams out of the lineup. So I do have him as a start personally, although the computers don't agree with me and don't think he's a touchdown candidate. The most likely touchdown, according to my fantasy football analytics here, is Hunter Renfro. So if you're looking for a daily fantasy budget guy or a scoop and play from the waiver wire, you can look at him to get into the end zone. New England versus Philadelphia. I like all of the receivers for New England. I like Sanu. I've been talking about him for a while. Tom Brady's been looking at him on the goal line, so I think you can trust him. Julian Edelman at this point, I like him. I think one of those two guys will get a touchdown. I actually think Sanu will get in the end zone, and Edelman will be more about volume, catches, yards, all those kinds of things. But certainly he's projected at about a half a touchdown, so it's 50-50. Tom Brady has a nice projection too, and I think it's enough to warrant also playing Philip Dorsett as well, again, for yardage, catch accumulation, so on and so forth. For Philadelphia, I don't like the projections at all. I think that Gilmore is going to lock up on Alshon Jeffrey schematically. I think it's going to be up to Aguilar and this wide receiver group to win matchup. I don't see it happening, frankly. So Philadelphia, don't love the projection. Sorry, Eagles fans, it's true. Chicago versus the LA Rams. Don't love the projections for either of these quarterbacks or the passing games. I think this is going to be a defensive matchup, both teams under 20 points kinds of game. But I do think you can start Allen Robinson. I think he'll get you enough volume. He's projected about a half a touchdown. So if there is one that goes, it's going to be to Allen, I think, Allen Robinson. For the Rams, I do think Cooper Kupp bounces back, although the projection isn't great on him. Robert Woods, I think, will have probably the best game of the wide receivers. So I think he's the most likely to catch the touchdown. Brandon Cooks is going to be out. So that means, Josh Reynolds. But really, I think when that happens, I think it really means Gerald Everett will catch more. But we'll talk about that on the tight end video. Last game of the week, Monday Night Football for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think you can start a lot of Chiefs this week. I think they're going to be pissed off. They need to win games. This is an important game for both teams. Kansas City, I think, comes back. Tyreek Hill, I think, gets in the end zone twice. Sammy Watkins, I think, gets you volume. DeMarcus Robinson, I think, gets you volume. So I think both are worthy of flex plays. For the Chargers this week, they need Keenan Allen to step up. I do have him as a play. I've been flirting with Mike Williams week to week. I'm going to say sit him this week. So, of course, that means that he's going to catch like 3 touchdown passes this week. You watch this happen. But I do have Mike Williams as a sit this week, and I don't like any of the other receivers to get in the end zone. Keenan Allen is potential to get in the end zone, but I actually like the running backs in the passing game a little bit more this week against Kansas City. All right, and that concludes the episode. As always, we kind of run through some of the stuff that's on the YouTube channel. So if you like some of this selection, go to youtube.com/theunderdog. We went through the game plan. There are more game plans up there. We do all of the start, sit, and touchdown predictions for all of the positions outside of kicker. So that includes, I guess, basically defense, quarterback, and tight end that you didn't catch on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll, of course, be back with the game previews next week, so check us out. I hope everybody out there has a very successful week in terms of fantasy and daily fantasy, if you play that, and if you bet against the spread, a very successful week there. Let's go be profitable, people. Go out, make some bets, play some daily fantasy, and get paid.